Hub E Academy, your source for empowering education. Wisdom, wealth, world change, anything is possible. Open yourself to the power of possibility through Hub E Academy. Let's change the world.
Good morning and welcome to Humanity Unites Brilliance Wealth Center call. Our topic this morning is spiritual business, working with purpose, rather than business as usual. This is Valentine's Day, February the 14th, 2009, and we're delighted that you're all with us. Our specific title for this morning's conference in our series is Still Waiting for Your Ship to Come In? Which one did you send out? And, of course, we're looking at the creative process of the human being in our calls over the last several weeks and how to become more and more conscious of that creative process as time goes on. And one of the first things I'd like to just introduce this morning is the fact that yesterday there was an alignment that was kind of interesting, not something I usually pay a lot of attention to, but I received an email just a couple of days ago from someone who put the information together, and you may all remember the song, The Dawning of the Age of Aquarius, and they spoke of, in fact, the words of the song go like this: when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planet and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Harmony, understanding, sympathy, and trust abounding. No more falsehoods or derisions. Golden living, dreams of visions. Mystic crystal revelation and the mind's true liberation. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. And interestingly enough, last night at about 11:20 Pacific time, for 18 minutes, that alignment took place, the exact one that was written about 40 years ago in that song. And, of course, the breaking down of some of the old that's happening, which appears painful at times, is perhaps just part of that new starting to break through. The eggshell has to crack, and so it does with each and every one of us, that that we crack the eggshell of our unconscious dynamics and wake up to who we are and what the process is about. I love a quote from Carl Jung that says, a man who has not passed through the inferno of his passions has never overcome them. And in this process of creating our lives, of course, being creators, we're continuously sending out signals to all of the universe. And one physicist said that the universe was more like a giant thought than a machine, and that every thought was communicated throughout the universe instantaneously to all parts of the universe. And of course, that kind of comes down to the fact that we're all connected and we're all one, and that we have this great interplay going on that oftentimes, unfortunately, we like to find somebody else to blame for. What we know for sure is that every time it's happened to us, we've been there, which indicates we might be involved in our own lives. And of course, if with our in consistency with our topic, if we keep getting this ship coming into our harbor, it's got to be that we sent that ship out. And to start to take ownership of what happens in our lives gives us the opportunity to begin to do that. Another quote from Karl Marx that just really is right on track with what we're going to address this morning is that he says that the creative mind plays with objects it loves. And if there's something that's going on in your life that you're saying to yourself, of course, the topic of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Guess what, creator? That's an object that you love. And though in your head you may seem to detest what it is that happens, if you keep bringing it back, it's because there's a part of you that's really deeply, deeply in relationship with that particular why we keep creating it over and over again. And so we send out, we get to look at and deal with repeatedly. And as you realize that, it becomes an opportunity to awaken. and to move beyond the unconscious creative process into the conscious. Because whatever we refuse to come into relationship with inside of us becomes the most powerful creative force in our lives. So whatever it is that we refuse to come into relationship within ourselves becomes the most powerful creative force in us, because what we hold, we tend to attract to us, which of course brings that dynamic forward within us. And our very denial and wish not to deal with that inside of us is what presses it down and pushes it back out into life and adds more energy to it. The fact that we are energetic beings means that whatever it is that we hold to most tightly becomes our creative process. Another way of saying this comes out of the ancient scriptures, where if you go to the Aramaic language, you find that in that language you have a teaching about physics and physiology and the way the world works. You don't have a theological teaching. And so I'm going to invite everybody to extract religious ideas from the scriptures for a moment and just look at, was there an understanding of how the world worked in that speaking that could give us some gifts? And we hear one statement out of the ancient teachings that says, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. Now, that's kind of a difficult piece to understand from its original speaking, unless you have the original meaning of the words. And those words were spoken in Aramaic. In the Western world, we have labored without an understanding of that word for almost 2,000 years, that word heart. And until we can grasp and understand what the word means, we're not going to be able to make use of its teaching. It won't make much sense. And so what we now know after almost 2,000 years of not understanding that word heart is that since the unconscious has been rediscovered in the West, what was being said there was take care what you hold in your unconscious, for out of it are the issues in life. And so what we refuse to deal with in ourselves, we find that problem lying in others. Another Carl Jung quote, everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves, because our irritation is internal. And where we have irritation, where we have any form of hostility or fear, we empower the unconscious aspect of our creative process. And what we're looking to do in creating Hub and what we're doing with the whole Hub process is to deal with that darkness, that unconscious part, and bring it forward to a vision of light, a vision that can inspire and draw out of us what we need to deal with, and then move us in the direction of that conscious creative process. And so we want to look at what's the content of the heart, what's the content of the unconscious, because the place, you know, with our topic, what ship did you send out? The place that we send that ship out from is not our heads. The place that we send that ship out from is our hearts. In other words, whatever the accumulated energy is in the unconscious, in the heart, is what we tend to move forward with. Oftentimes people say, for instance, we're looking at spiritual business, do business out of unconscious dynamics. And they love, for instance, their failure. And so they work hard, they struggle, they strive, and it's a failure. And then they pick up something else, and they work hard, and they struggle, and they struggle, and they strive, and there's failure. Well, when you look at those repeated patterns, what you know is that there's a love of failure. Someone who goes into relationship with wonderful intentions, oh, we're going to have a blast here, we're going to have a wonderful time, and doesn't deal with their own unconscious, if they have a love affair in their unconscious that comes from generations of hostility in relationships, then they'll end up creating hostility in their relationships. And they'll wonder why. And they'll think, of course, the problem is the other person, and all they have to do is get rid of that other person, which oftentimes they do. And then, lo and behold, along comes Mr. or Mrs. Right. Ah, I finally have the perfect person in my life. Of course, that person stirs their unconscious dynamics, and because of the love affair with their own hostility or fear, they'll create that same dynamic in another relationship and wonder, what happened? Do you know what happened? You have to ask yourself the question, which ship did I send out? If I'm still waiting for a ship of wonder and beauty and delight to come in my relationships, but in my heart or my unconscious, in my file on relationships, I hold hostility, fear, pain, trauma, then what I'm going to bring about is exactly that which I hold in my heart. It always amazes me how many people carry bags and bags and bags of garbage from their childhood, from their relationships, from their genetic history. And they go into a relationship and they want wonderful, peaceful, conflict-free relationships. We can't have a conflict-free relationship until we're a conflict-free being. I want abundance in my life. You can't have abundance in your life until you have abundance in your heart. And so to access that unconscious dynamics becomes key. And one of the tools that we use at Heartland in finding that unconscious dynamics, those unconscious dynamics, we call mind shifters. It's one of the tools we use, and it's a really simple tool, but very powerful and very effective at getting at hidden dynamics in the mind, at being able to become acquainted with, and remember the idea is to become acquainted with everything that's inside of you, because what you refuse to become acquainted with will run your life. And so this tool called a mind shifter is, by definition, it's a tool where you take a thought about an issue around which you have negative thoughts, and if the energetics of that thought are correct, then it will surface and bring forward that which is hidden in the heart. Now, life kind of acts as a mind shifter for us. We send something out from our hearts, from our unconscious into the world. And you remember another scriptural quote that was given was, you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother. You know, we listen to what Carl Jung says, we need to look at what our brother's doing and we'll become acquainted with ourselves. And when they said, you must forgive from your heart, that wasn't a bleeding heart statement, but rather they were saying, you must remove from your unconscious that which you think is wrong with your brother, because the reason you're in turmoil or pain over what your brother does is because you have hidden in you that very turmoil or pain. Now, it takes somebody who's really willing to grow up to be able to move to that level. It takes somebody who's really willing to be an adult. There's a statement where Yeshua, I believe it's in the book of Thomas, he's talking to the disciples, and he says to them, you know, you're like a bunch of children in the square. Nah, 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 look what you did to me. Like, I'm not responsible for anything going on in my life. It's all your fault. Look what you did. And to that, Yeshua said, why are you trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye? Well, you have a beam in your own. One of the reasons I think why that people push Yeshua's teachings away is because they really don't want to go there. They want to be able to run around like little children and blame everybody else for what's happening inside of them. You hurt me. You made me mad. You made me sad. You made me fail. My mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my boss. It's all baloney. Remember, every time it's happened to you, you've been there. Someday, we all got to grow up. Someday, we've all got to be willing to take responsibility and say, I'm here. I feel pain. I feel trauma. I think I'll open my unconscious. I think I'll open my heart and deal with me, instead of having this giant love affair. And I just love the way Carl Jung says it. The creative mind plays with the objects it loves. And if you're still playing the game of blaming somebody else for your failure, for your grief, for your sadness, for your irritation, or your upset, it's because you're in love with the game of blame. But guess what? that sucks up all your creative power, and your whole life becomes nothing but playing that out. And what we're looking to do is to rise to adulthood in this work. You know, if you look around the planet, you'll see everywhere that there's war, there's a blame game going on. Look what you did to me, and I'm going to get even. You look at every community, you look at every family squabble, there's somebody pointing a finger at somebody else. It's governed the planet for how many thousand years? This is the dawning of a new time. It's the dawning of a new way of doing things, where we become aware. And you know, what Hub has done is Hub has created a vision for the world that I think for the first time in history is going to acquire sufficient funding to actually carry it out. As we said in previous calls, the vision that has governed the world for all of recorded history has been one of hostility and fear, and let's gather enough money out of people's pockets to put guns in enough men's hands to go kill those bad guys. And children are taught from the ground up to blame somebody else. In fact, we don't even have language for responsibility in our culture. If two people are in conflict and each one knew that it was their own unconscious challenge to deal with, instead of saying to their spouse, "You really peeve me," they'd say, "Gee, you know, when you said that, that brought a lot of anger up in me, and I'm really ready to heal my anger. I'm really ready to deal with this darkness in me. Would you support me?" And when we move into that, all of a sudden, everything that the mind shows us starts to change because we see what's going on in our own hearts. And of course, I haven't met a person yet who, when I asked this question in a workshop, how many were raised in a family where you saw your parents in interaction and one said to the other, "Gee, you know, when you did thus and so, it brought a lot of anger up in me. Would you support me healing?" I mean, it brings a giant laugh from every audience when I ask that question because nobody's ever seen it. Our whole language, I mean, really look at what our language is about, what our responsibility is, and it's nil. So we need to invent a whole new language. We need to invent a whole new way of being and overcome a thousand generations of blame. Look at how long we've been doing war on the planet. I really acknowledge the Hub founder, Tardigay, for coming up with a vision. And the vision was one of bringing abundance to every mind and heart on the planet, true abundance. And to create a business model that supports the opening of that abundance globally, wherever one is living in poverty. Some of the greatest poverty in the world is right here in the United States, in the homes with the house on the hill and the Mercedes Benz in the driveway. There's the greatest spiritual poverty. And when we keep sending out that spiritual poverty, it has to keep coming back to us. So this tool, Mind Shifters, sort of short circuits the process of, I hold something in my heart, something I love to play with, I send it out, somebody shows up and does it to me, I blame them, and I do it over and over again. Instead of having to do that, the idea of a mind shifter is to create a thought that holds the right frequency, the right vibration to access the unconscious dynamic in us, and in bringing it forward, be able to see that it comes from inside of us, and then to apply tools for change. One of my favorites, and you know, oftentimes a challenge for people, is money, abundance. And so one of my favorite mind shifters that I assign to people who have a challenge with money and abundance is, I always earn twice as much as I can spend. Now, most people, when they hear that one, it's a laugh, and it's like, who are you trying to kid? But when you use that as a mind shifter, here's how you use the tool. You take a single piece of paper, and you draw a line down the middle. And you write that mind shifter on the left-hand side. I always earn twice as much as I can spend. And then on the right-hand side of the page, you write down every thought that comes up in response to it. So this young man who's had a challenge with money might write that, and the first thought that comes up is, well, I've never been able to pay my bills. Of course I don't earn twice as much as I can spend. And then you write the mind shifter again. I always earn twice as much as I can spend. Well, who are you trying to kid? That's impossible. I've never done that. I always earn twice as much as I can spend. Well, I can remember when I was a kid, my parents could never pay the bills either. This world is tough, you know. I always earn twice as much as I can spend. Well, I can remember the last time I saw my dad as he walked out the door. He had a big fight with my mom over money, and I never saw him again. And up comes this pain and this grief. There's the marker for one of the unconscious issues that he needs to deal with in order to rectify his money issues. And there's where his money issue ties into how his relationships work and why he lives in this seesaw of, you know, one day I have money and then I go into a relationship and then my relationship is destroyed or I lose my money and then I get and I can't ever get both together at the same time. Because in his heart, his love affair, as Jung said, is with that conflict over money and relationship. And in the ancient teachings, bringing things to the conscious mind, to conscious awareness, the conscious mind itself was called the altar, A-L-T-E-R. It's the place where we can alter or change something. We can't change what's in the heart directly or the unconscious directly. It's kind of like your computer screen. If you're doing a word processing document and somebody calls and says, oh, you've got to change something on a spreadsheet, you can't keep the word processing document up and change your spreadsheet because you can't see it. You can't access it. The essence of forgiveness, which is what we'll go into next week, is how to collapse the existing dynamics of the mind so that we can look at a deeper part of the mind. There's an interesting quote from a man named Captain J.A. Hadfield, and he says this, "The art of resting the mind and the power of dismissing from it all care and worry is probably one of the secrets of energy in our great men." In other words, if you can't forgive, your mind is occupied with all of those past dynamics, and it just sucks the creative life out of you. And so when we are willing to directly access, so this young man would then start to look at the dynamic of his family life and money and relationship, and of course there are a whole other range of tools, in particular the forgiveness process that we teach from the Aramaic. And in the Aramaic language, the word forgive has nothing to do with letting other people off the hook because of what's happening inside of you. It's the tool with which you change what's happening inside of you. So in Aramaic, you'd never be invited to forgive another. You'd never be invited to forgive yourself. You'd be handed a tool with which you access your own unconscious dynamics and remove from your heart or your unconscious that which never belonged there in the first place. So you don't apply forgiveness to another, you apply it to what your love affair is with. And your love affair is with that which you are continuously and in an ongoing way dealing with, and you want to pretend is all everybody else's fault. And sadly enough, we end up blaming it on our children, we end up blaming it on our spouses, we end up blaming it on the people closest to us because we don't want to deal with it. Well, why would we blame those particular people? Because they're the only ones we let close enough to us to get into our hearts, to get into those spaces in us. We keep that space hidden from everybody else. But in order to enter into true relationship, we have to start to open our unconscious to let people in. And when we do, guess what happens? We get to see what's there. Without the tools to clean it up, we're in trouble. At this point, I would invite everyone on the call who perhaps isn't familiar with the forgiveness process as it was taught in the Aramaic, that you might want to go to our website. You can download free chapter 24 from the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Actually, you can download the whole book, but in particular, if you go to www.whyagain.com, on the right-hand side, you'll see links, and if you go to Download Worksheets, and then you can download Chapter 24 and the Forgiveness Worksheet Process. We're going to go into that, by the way, next week, so everyone who's on the call who's planning on being on it next week, if you would, make sure that you have a copy of that worksheet off of the website in front of you, because that's what we'll be discussing, and it looks like our time is probably going to be at 12 noon for the call next week. We'll be doing it live from the Hub Conference in San Diego, so be sure to join us. And so that mind shifters tool is one that allows you to see what you're sending out directly rather than waiting for somebody to come and deliver it to you. And as you see it directly, then you start to apply your own thinking to how to change those dynamics in yourself instead of playing the game that it's all everybody else's fault. And as you change those dynamics in yourself, all of a sudden your creative power is liberated, it's loosed from that, and whatever area of your life there was a deficiency, all of a sudden, gee, people start to show up to do something different with you. It becomes a whole different game. And that's where we want to head with this whole different game. And, of course, Hub's vision, based in love, is to bring that game to every mind on the planet, is to really bring healing and abundance by bringing an abundant mindset to every person that it touches, whether it's someone who joins Hub as a member or whether it's someone that Hub takes our support services to. And so that's where we're heading with Hub, and this particular way, still waiting for your ship to come in, which one did you send out, is just one aspect of how to look at this creative process and how to bring about change in it. And so I would like to open at this moment to questions. If you have a question or a thought, please just press *2, and that should unmute you. And if you would, make your comment or ask your question, whatever it is, and then once again, push *2 so that you're muted immediately after your comment or question, so we'll have as quiet a line as possible for the recording. And of course, the recording you'll be able to pick up on the Hub website, or you'll be able to go to whyagain.com on our media page, and you'll be able to pick that up there within a day or two. So does anyone have any thoughts or questions?
I'm really understanding everything you say and just loving it, but I can't wrap my mind around how we would have a love affair with something, to me, would seem like a hate affair.
Well, but, you know, when you think of yourself as a creator, you're creating what happens in your life, there must be a part of you that loves what you're creating if you keep creating the same old trauma. And so we're looking at this is an unconscious dynamic, not something conscious. In our heads, we say, oh, man, I never want this to happen again. And it happens tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. What we're saying is, oh, here's a wake-up call. Wake up. There's a part of me that's in love with this because this is what I keep doing. Yeah, my head hates it, but I wouldn't keep doing it. I wouldn't keep creating it if there wasn't a part of me that really... And, of course, love there... This is what I have an affinity for. There's an energetic portion of me that holds to this, and out of that, I keep creating it.
Would it be because we can learn a lesson from that if we allow ourselves to wake up to that?
Exactly. That would be my take on it, yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. This is so nice of you. Thank you so much.
I'm just delighted. There's another wonderful quote from Carl Jung that says, if there's anything that we wish to change in our child, we should first examine and see whether or not there's something that could be better changed in ourselves. And, of course, that is the key to all of our relationships. If there's something I want to change in somebody else, it's because I have pain in me about it. And when I start changing it in me, then I become a fit servant to support others in changing that very dynamic. I stop trying to take the speck out of my brother's eye. I clean up the beam in my own. And then I'm fit to hold a space of support for my brother instead of a space of upset. So, cool. Delighted.
Thank you.
All the other calls are on our website. If you want to pick up, if you haven't caught those. And actually, I think there are 25 different audio tracks there that you can go and give a listen to on whyagain.com /media.php is where those calls are. Or you can look on the right-hand side menu and just click on the media button. Any questions, comments, thoughts, answers, ideas?
Michael, you probably did about, can you hear me first of all? This is Jerry at Heartland.
I can. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Michael. Hey, I heard you attribute about a half dozen or so quotes to Carl Jung, and I thought I heard you attribute one to Karl Marx that didn't sound like one of his. I'm guessing you may really meant to attribute that one to Carl Jung, too.
I say Karl Marx, my mistake. There is one quote that I use from Karl Marx that really points up, but I didn't say that one this morning, so that was a mistake. Thank you for catching me on that one.
Okay.
Pointing it up. Appreciate it. One that quote that I'm referring to that actually fits here as well from Karl Marx really points out why a lot of people can't logically work through the issues in their lives. And what he said was that if you want to destroy a culture, you change the meaning of its words. And one of the reasons why that happens, why you destroy a culture by changing the meaning of its words, is you destroy the ability to think logically in depth about whatever the word changes. For instance, in the ancient Aramaic, as I said earlier, the word forgive has to do with addressing and changing things in yourself. When they change the meaning of that to you let other people off the hook, all of a sudden, forgiveness became impossible. People went around, oh, I'll forgive you for that. It's all your fault that I'm feeling this, but I'll forgive you. And they could not address the true forgiveness process, which meant I'm going to go into my heart and clean up the part of me that holds this trauma or pain. And so he was right on track with how that works. And we've had so many words changed in our culture that leave us without an ability to think at depth about the particular topic that we're looking at. Comments, questions, thoughts?
This is Jean. And I just had the thought, too, that when we hold these things within us, that it's actually becoming our physiology, it's becoming our disease, and life doesn't want us to destroy ourselves. So you're going to bring to you whatever you need, whatever person or event, to bring it up in your face, to give you the opportunity to get rid of it so that you can physically, as well as emotionally and mentally, heal.
That's right on track. That's it. And you know, we talked a little bit in one of the previous calls, but it fits really well with that comment, Jeannie. Thank you of the work of a cell biologist, Bruce Lipton, and what he's showing is that when you think a thought, that thought produces a literal peptide molecule in your body, and that molecule circulates around in your structure until it finds a cell with a receptor site that matches, and then the cell replicates that neuropeptide chemically. And you're living with the chemistry of your thought. So a dis-ease thought, that is one that has some form of trauma, hostility, or fear attached to it, creates dis-ease chemistry in the cell. People think, well, if I don't ever look at this, then I don't ever have to deal with it. And they get to deal with it physically as their diseases, as their aging processes, as their aches and pains. I remember about 30 years ago, I heard someone who quoted from a medical research team at a place called the DeCourcy Clinic in Cincinnati. And I heard this quote once, and it just burned right into my brain. And here's what they said. They said, time is not toxic. Time has no effect on human tissue under any conditions. It is the belief in the effects of time by those who subscribe to such a belief that acts as a poison. The truth is, energy is eternal. We're eternal. If we put toxic energies in, it seems like time is taking away our youth. The truth is, it's the hostilities and fears that we put into our physiology that takes away our youth and creates our diseases. Our goal here is to inspire and to open and to give tools to people to deal with their unconscious dynamics so that their diseases can go away and they can, in turn, turn around in youth and live in the being that they were designed to live in, and that is as love. I think I heard somebody on mute. Did we have another question or comment?
Yes, Michael, this is David. I was just thinking about, as talking about the mind shifter, and one of the things that you've often expressed is about the breath and in doing the mind shifter. Would you want to make a comment or two on that?
Sure, the breath is a major key. It is actually literally, you know, in the ancient teachings, they said the veil of the temple must be rent in twain, and that was made to sound like it had something to do with the purple curtain in a church, but the temple that was being referred to was our own physiology, our own bodies. That was the temple. And the veil of that temple is the barrier between the subconscious and the unconscious. It's something that we build when we deny and hide things from ourselves. And the mechanical way that that veil is built and strengthened and thickened is by holding the breath. And if you watch someone, when you stimulate or resonate one of their unconscious dynamics, the first thing they automatically do is hold the breath, because that's the way that they keep that dynamic hidden from themselves. So throughout the use of all the tools that we teach, there is the breath is the common thread and the encouragement to breathe, because when we breathe, we soften and we begin to open that veil. There's actually a tool that we teach called still point breathing that just does a massive opening of that barrier and puts us into what I like to call a superconductor state that allows us to open and see deeper and deeper and deeper parts of our own unconscious. And, of course, then we get to clean them up and move on to play in the universe and send out a different ship, send out the ship of abundance, the ship of aliveness, you know, as the as that song on the Age of Aquarius, as the words said, love will steer the stars, peace will guide the planets, harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding, no more falsehoods or derisions, golden living, dreams and visions. The mind's true liberation. And we have that as a possibility as human beings when we wake up to who we are and what we're really made of. Anyone else? Any questions, thoughts, comments, ideas?
Hey, Michael, it's Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Hey. So listen to this, and I've heard you say this before, like if it's not in my field, then it won't show up. So what I'm being reminded of through this is sending out the ships that I send out. If I'm sending out ships of hostility or lack of money or whatever it is, that those are the ships that are going to come back. And as long as I'm not sending out those type of ships, I'm sending out ships of prosperity and abundance, then that's what's going to come back. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Bottom line, I think in the old teachings, they simplified it to as you sow, you reap. Yeah, we bring it about.
So if it's not in my field, then it basically I'm not bringing it in.
Yeah, it can't come to you. We live in a world of resonance. It can't come to us unless we hold it there. And if when it does come to us, we have pain about it and we resolve our pain, that's how we clean up that area of our lives and plant different seeds, create a different dynamic in our world and in our lives. Right on track.
Thank you.
And if we'll keep doing it, when you get down to it, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the genetic aspect of it, and you know, in the ancient scriptures they said, look to the lives of the fathers, for ours are but a shadow of theirs upon the earth. A lot of the dynamics that we get to deal with, if we go back and look at their family patterns that have been going on for centuries on an energetic level, and we are the inheritors in our genetics of those directions. And so really being willing to become acquainted with those things in ourselves, and that's all life is trying to do, is send us somebody to acquaint us with this part of our unconscious, send us somebody to acquaint us with that part of it, and that, and that, and that. And the ones that we have a love affair with are the ones that will keep showing up until we decide to end that love affair, which, of course, is done through the forgiveness process. It isn't done by, you know, finding somebody else to blame or escaping or changing others. It's done by changing what goes on in ourselves.
Thank you.
Hey, delighted. Glad to be on the team. Glad to have you on ours.
Thanks.
Anyone else? Comment, question, thought, answer, idea?
Michael?
Yes.
Hi, this is Joy in Sonoma.
Hi, Joy in Sonoma.
Hi. I wondered if it was possible to get your book without downloading it. Can we pay for a copy of it?
Oh, twist my arm.
Okay.
Or you can just go to our website. It's actually available in two forms. You can order the book for $15, and there's $5 for shipping and handling. If you just go to our website, catalog page. You can also get it in a 5-CD set. There's an unabridged reading of the book. Myself, I play my own part, and then the character in the book is a fellow named Richard, is played by an actor. And there's the whole book read on 5 CDs. And then there's a 6th CD that is an MP3 that comes free with that package. So you can order it either way. And or you can also buy the MP3 as a download from our website. So you can just go to the website, click on download, and you've got the MP3 right there for your iPod or your computer or what have you.
Okay.
So there's several ways to get the book. Yes, of course.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and on our website, you can also pick up the book in German, Russian, besides English, German, Russian, Spanish, Farsi, and what's the other language? We've got one other language. English, German, Russian, Spanish, Farsi. We actually just started communicating with someone in Asia about an Asian translation, and we've got somebody working on Brazilian Portuguese as well as French. So we'll have a few other languages up there, and if you know anybody that speaks those languages, pop them a link to the book and they can download it free. We only have it printed in English at this point and Swedish. There's a Swedish published version of it as well.
Michael.
Yes.
Sandy, I noticed that we just got the clearing for the change in the phone number. Will you make sure next week we get a number if it's going to be different than this one?
I will. We'll be using this number next week. I believe they just changed services, and that just came up in the last few days. But yeah, we'll be with this number next week as far as I know. But if there's any change, I'll certainly let you all know.
Thank you.
Cool. How's Sissy?
We'll talk about it another time.
Okay. We'll hold her in a blessing.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Any comments, questions, thoughts, answers, ideas? Well, let's look at, you know, we'll kind of do a little bit of a look at what we're going to be talking about next week, because part of our topic is the link between abundance and forgiveness. And, you know, one of the ideas of HUB, the whole idea is to bring everybody on the planet to absolute outrageous abundance. And that abundance being in every arena, the area of abundant health, the area of abundant aliveness and excitement in life, the area of abundant joy, abundance in finances, in every area. And the reason why there's such a clear and powerful link between abundance and forgiveness, you know, as our series started out, our first topic was the greatest atrocity committed against human beings. And just as a reminder, what we talked about in that first session was that we've had hidden from us the fact that we are by nature creators. That's our basic nature. And we bought into that. And so when we create lack in our lives in any way, shape, or form, it is because we hold an energy in us with which we send that ship out, the ship of lack. And it's an interesting dynamic. You know, there's some interesting Harvard research that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, that is, there are 10,000 measurable units of electrical activity happening in the human brain, the maximum amount of information that could get into our conscious awareness is 9 bits. Now, when you start to tie this all together and the unconscious control of perception, let's say, for instance, I say, I want, like that young man with the mind shifter earlier, I want absolute abundance. And in my heart, I hold, well, you know, when I was 5 years of age, I stole 50 cents out of my grandmother's purse, and I got caught, and I got beaten, and I was told that I was no good, and I didn't deserve anything. And if I hold that in my unconscious, then, and never deal with the pain of that, never process through and remove that from my physiology, then every time I think about abundance, that energetic dynamic governs my creative process. Oh, I don't deserve. And so, one, I'll send out an energy that if abundance is heading my way, I'll push it away. Two, if abundance is right there in front of me, Remember, I only get to see 9 bits of information. My unconscious dynamics will block from my perceptual awareness the fact that the abundance is sitting right in front of me. The answer is right there, but it is invisible because it cannot gain entry into my conscious awareness as long as I hold an unconscious block there. That's why it's so important to deal with and get in touch with those unconscious things and to take responsibility. You know, our topic's still waiting for your ship to come in. Which one did you send out? It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's guaranteed that the only ships that come into your life, the only things that come into your life are the things that you, on an energetic level, sent out and asked the universe for. And if something different sits beside you because of the way the human mind works, it's invisible. It won't be seen. Or we'll sabotage ourselves with it. If I say to myself, well, I don't deserve health, then the very keys to health can be right in front of me, but I'll pass them because my evidential mind won't show me that that's the solution. Once I go in and forgive, that is, I remove that block, and please, everybody, next week have a copy of the worksheet in front of you. Print one off from our website, whyagain.com, as we're going to go through that worksheet process. But once I forgive that dynamic of I don't deserve it, then the thing that's been sitting in front of my face all the time all of a sudden becomes so obvious. It's like, well, how did I miss that? Or the conflict I've had with somebody. Once I forgive, you know, if I'm in an evidential space, and a lot of people hold that the purpose is to prove, of their lives is to prove, I'm right, you're wrong, it's settled, why argue? And so if we find ourselves always pointing a finger at somebody else, well, you're the problem in my life, I don't have anything to do with why I'm enraged, it's all your fault, then we won't be able to see, and therefore won't be able to heal the part of us that holds the dis-ease called rage or sadness or lack or whatever it is. Once I begin to access that through forgiveness and move that out, it will become so obvious. I can remember, it's only happened to me once this dramatically, but I can remember being in a conflict with somebody that I was fairly close with, and my mind had all the answers and all the reasons and all the you did this. And I was ready to blast it, and I stopped and said, and one of the beauties of doing this work is I get to keep reminding myself, because it's so easy to forget when we get into the dynamics of, you know, the good old family feeling and all. But I can remember in that particular instance, I stopped, I took a breath, and I did the forgiveness process from the Aramaic. And literally, now this is the only time. It only happened once for me this dramatically. But literally, within 30 seconds of having this whole story about how it was all their fault, I could not even remember. It was so clear in my, what I call the 9-bit mind, it was so clear to me that this was my doing that I couldn't even remember how I even imagined or fathomed that it possibly could have been their fault. And that's what happens when you begin to forgive, when you begin to clean up your own unconscious dynamics. Everything changes. And it's a fabulous world to live in, because what you get to do is to consciously reclaim your creatorship. You know, the ancient teachings say we were made in the image and likeness of the Creator. We are creators. And the only things that come to us are the things that we hold dear to us, even if we say we hate them. Comments, questions, thoughts?
Michael, which worksheet will you be using next week?
We'll use the one that's on the website, the latest 7-step.
Okay.
If you want to download it, go to www.whyagain.com. And on the right-hand side, download worksheets. If you click on the chapter 24, it'd be good to read that before the call, because that's what we'll be talking about, and having the brain cells will help for everybody to take it to the next level. And if you have any questions about it, please have those questions lined up, and we're going to go through that worksheet process, the forgiveness process from the Aramaic.
Michael?
Yes.
Hi. I wondered if you have an explanation for, like, I've had periods in my life where the ships that were coming in were, you know, were just fantastic, and pretty much anything I asked for would come to me. And I'm not in one of those places right now, you know, where I'm putting it out there and, you know, I feel like I'm hitting a brick wall. Can you explain why sometimes, you know, things seem to go well and other times they don't?
Sure, I can explain that. It's easy. And the reason for that is because, as we said earlier, we're creators, you know, and people think of, oh, it works when everything's wonderful. But the truth is, it works all the time. When the garbage is showing up, it's working perfectly.
Mm.
What we do is we refuse to take responsibility. We think it's working when the wonderful things show up, and we think it's not working when the garbage is showing up. Instead of going, oh, it's working perfectly, here's some of my garbage, let me go into my heart and see what request I made to bring this in and clean up that part of my unconscious.
Okay, yeah.
So never a time when it isn't working. It's always working. But we tend to move in cycles in terms of what governs and what rules. And sometimes we ask in our heads and our heart is in harmony for wonderful things to happen, and wonderful things happen. And sometimes we ask in our head in another arena. You know, we talked about the mind earlier, and the mind organizes things in files, so to speak. So let's take the young man that we spoke about when we gave the mind shifters example. That young man that we did the mind shifters example with, his challenge is that money and relationships don't go together, and he's always broke because that's his family dynamic. And so pulling into himself a lack of money is a perfect creation for him. When he owns that, oh, here I have this lack of money, and that's what I've created because I know it's an absolutely abundant universe, then I look and I start to go into my heart, my unconscious, and forgive the part of me that says, and to forgive, I have to be able to access that unconscious. And that's what the reality management worksheet, the forgiveness process from the Aramaic that we have on the website, is about. It's how to access that part and clean that part up, because it's always working. The good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah, I was thinking for myself that I had a year where, you know, just incredible things happened and instant manifestation, but it was preceded by several years of really deep pulling up, cleaning up the garbage. So I guess that, yeah, I got to kind of ride on that for a while, and now there's more garbage to clean up, so...
Well, one of the things we tend to do is we tend to get lulled into a sense of false security. Oh, well, now everything's okay. And when things are rocking along well, we are vitalized and strengthened. And as we're strengthened, we get to look at the next level or the next depth of what we deal with. And tendency can be that when things are going well, and I've seen this, you know, I've been doing this work for 40 years, and I see it often when people are in trauma, oh, please, please, give me the tools, teach me, support me, let me learn this. Mm-hmm. And when things, the minute things turn around and go well, it's like, oh, forget it, I don't need to bother with that.
Yeah.
Whereas if we were to be willing to do an ongoing process, whether where things are wondrous or not so wondrous, if we continuously open and are willing to do our work, we don't ever have to move back into that that depth of trauma again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But the universe has its purpose, and pain has its purpose, and pain's purpose is to make our ears grow, to get us to listen. And if we stop listening, the universe comes along with its 2x4, and it, you know, kind of taps us upside the head. And if we stop listening, it hits us a little harder, and, you know, then it's a 4x4, and until we finally start to listen again, where we can continuously choose to be listening and continuously on an ongoing basis doing our work. And, of course, one of the ways to do that is to continuously teach it. I personally get the blessing of teaching this all the time, and by so doing, I get to keep learning it over and over and over and cleaning up my own mind and my own life. And that's one of the blessings I get to have.
Yeah.
So teach it. Pick it up, take it, and teach it. And you get it on a whole other level. Well, it's 11 o'clock, and so it has been delightful to be with you, and have a wondrous Valentine's Day, and I join each and every one of you in creating a life of absolute abundance in every area, aliveness, joy, creativity, health, well-being, wellness, and wealth, and that you have the best year yet of your eternal lives. Blessings.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Thank you for joining us for another teleseminar from Hub E Academy. Perhaps your experience today moved you, inspired you, or created a change in you. Perhaps you even feel compelled to share what you've just learned with someone else. It's through your active participation, your brilliance, that the Hub community becomes stronger. Wisdom, wealth, world change. Anything is possible. Hub E Academy. Let's change the world.